All right, guys, welcome to the show. And Neil, I haven't heard from you in a hot minute. How's it going this week, man?
It's going okay. I officially sent in some applications to a couple of grad programs, and I started a
Nice.
course in project management today. So,
Hey.
Nice, dude.
trying
I
to
think
improve my resume because I got another like three rejection letters today.
you.
So,
Depressing.
need to start making progress in another direction.
I saw a meme, one of those like edgy skeleton memes the other day. It says my body is a machine that turns one unread email into thank you for your application, but after c further consideration. Too real. Well, I think you'll be a good project manager. Like I said, it's like being an IRL D&D campaign DM, so except for tech, so I think you'll excel at that. Other than job applications, what have you been playing, watching? What have you been up to?
So really not too much. I've been kind of focused on fantasy football league. Right now I'm 2-0, so that and this massage thing that I got are about my only reasons for living. But and so we'll see how that goes after this week. But my friend Kyle, you got in on this a little bit, recommended a game called Raven's Watch. It's kind
Right.
of a multiplayer Hades, and I've enjoyed what I've played of it so far.
Nice.
Cool, man. Well, you guys already kind of heard him in the background. Gideon, what have you been up to this week?
Yeah, not too much. Did watch a couple movies. So we're watching Alien, or we watched Alien for this, but before that, I rewatched Kung Fu Panda for the first time in like, I don't know,
Dude.
15 years or something. That was really fun. Watched on 4K Blu-ray. That was really crispy and colorful and fun. And I watched The Triangle of Sadness before that. Other than that, haven't been playing too much. I did finish rereading Batman Year One with Alyssa. So that was fun to knock out. But yeah, that's kind of been it for me. Not too much lately.
What do you mean reading a comic book together? Like you were reading it separately, or you were reading it like you're turning the pages together and reading it out loud?
I like read it out loud on the
Oh, okay.
iPad, like before we go to bed.
Do you do voices?
Oh yeah. Especially Jim Gordon, because he's such a fucker in the comics, is what I
Nice.
realized.
Yeah.
I think you need to demonstrate.
Let's see. He's like
Let's hear your Batman voice.
Batman voice. I'd have
It
to
has
like
to be
look at a
male.
panel. It'd be like, I saw my parents gunned down in front of me, and I've never been the same. Like something like that. And Jim's always just such a fucker. He's like, well, I guess I just kind of felt like cheating on my wife. My job is so stressful. There's this Joker guy running around, something about Ace Chemicals. It's like, okay.
Interesting. Okay. Well, more power to you, Gideon. But what you do in your bedroom is your business. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna interfere. You guys have already heard from him a little bit. We have a special guest this week, Alex. Welcome to the show, my
Hey.
friend.
Ah, thanks, man.
What have you been up to this week? What have you been playing? What have you been watching?
Well, I have been going super hard on Silksong. Only been waiting like a billion years for this game to come out, and it is indeed very, very challenging and extremely well made, and I'm just having a damn good time with that. And as far as watching goes, the time has really been dedicated to Silksong, so not a lot of watching lately. But I do want to see that new Darren Aronofsky film in theaters, the one with Austin Butler soon. So that's the one kind of on my radar. Ooh, and that new Paul Thomas Anderson flick with Leo is getting fantastic reviews. So that one is on my radar as well.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to watch for that because I do love Paul Thomas Anderson. So, not to be confused with Paul W.S. Anderson,
That's right.
who we all know I'm a fan of here on the show.
I think I heard that One Battle After Another is the first film projected on VistaVision since like 1961, I think.
Cool.
Very cool, very exciting.
That is neat. Well, Gideon, you and I finished a little we finished Gears of War this week. A good game, one of the laziest ports of a game I've played in a long time. So that was a little disappointing on that end, but still a good game. Had a lot of fun with that.
Rock a little couch co-op on that one.
No, unfortunately, I'm in Minnesota, Gideon's in Iowa, so we had to do that one remote, but that would have been fun too. And the just today I finished the original 1995 Wipeout on PS1.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was extremely tough. Really, really hardcore. And it's just a really it's like such an old game, and so I don't want to say it's unpopular, but certainly like it was not a game that garnered an incredible following in its time, and was so quickly surpassed by its own sequels that there's not a lot of like internet conversation about the original Wipeout. So it's very hard to like go on the internet and look up like, oh, Wipeout strategies, because everybody's like talking about the sequels more than they're talking about the original game. It's almost like people just do not care about the original one. So I just kind of had to brute force my way through it, but yeah, had a good time and finally got it, and now I never have to look at that again, so I'm pretty happy about that.
It's on PS1, you said?
On PS1, yeah, I've got a CRT, like an old TV in my basement, and
Oh,
a
nice.
PS1 hooked up to it. So, I call it the rat nest. Neil has been down there. He's the only person who's actually physically been there. So, if Neil, if you want to describe what the rat's nest is like.
As I recall, it's lit exclusively by a lava lamp. And I would call it like a originally a storage room, but it's got a door so that Grace can just close it when Sam's in there when she doesn't want to look at him.
Man, I want to acquire some Surge, some Dunkables, and some like TMNT Turtles in Time and
There
get
you
down there ASAP.
go. I have a copy of Turtles in Time in the Rat's Nest, but it unfortunately is my copy from like 1997 and does not work very well.
Dang it.
I know. I need to get the Windex and the Q-tip out and rub that thing down,
Absolutely.
because it's I'll send a picture. Like you can it's like the pins are visibly rusty on that particular cartridge, but I'll send you a pic.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's it's been good. Sorry, Neil, go ahead.
Sam, I just wanted to hijack for a second just for our 20 plus listeners. So Alex, two questions. Number one, coming into this, do you have like a off the top of your head like top five movies that are just your go-tos? Like give
Ooh.
us the essential filmography.
Actually, if you give me 1 second, let me go into my notes app because by happenstance, I created a list because I have a good friend who created a list and therefore felt compelled to do the same. So, let's see, made this like, oh, I made this year. All right, so in no particular order, I got 10 favorite movies.
Nice.
First one on this list, not meaning it's my first, but is Alien. And then after that is The Thing, Shawshank Redemption, Pulp Fiction, Jaws, No Country for Old Men, The Shining, Goodfellas, Fury Road, and Silence of the Lambs. It's definitely very
Nice.
like horror thriller focused, but I feel like I don't have a lot of like super hot takes on there.
That's okay. Those are 10 solid movies, so
Bangers.
Definitely a lot of crossover. I love Fury Road. I love No Country for Old Men.
So good.
The Coen brothers are actually from here in Minneapolis, so they're like hometown heroes. So
Nice. I watched Barton
yeah.
Fink for the first time, like
Oh,
a few
Barton Fink
weeks
is
ago.
awesome.
So good. Yeah.
I watched it at my science teacher's I was not invited over creepily by my science teacher to watch Barton Fink in high school. Her daughter was one of my friends, so we went over to watch Barton Fink with like a bunch of us, and my science teacher walked into the room like 30 minutes before the end. She's like, is this the one where John Goodman is the devil and like spoiled the whole movie for us?
I was like, John Goodman is on fire in that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, so we are sorry, here. Sorry, oh, go ahead, Neil.
I had one other question for Alex. I saw it this morning. You posted a reel on Facebook of a pretty good-looking steak.
Ooh, I did.
Now, I like to think of myself as a pretty good steak cook. What goes into a steak like that for you?
All right, I'll break it down. So, you gotta get thick cut. I'm gonna go ahead and say like inch and a half cut. Ribeye or New York, those are my two favorites. Room temperature, make sure that you leave that out for a little bit. You take some kosher salt. I don't get too fancy with it. If it's a good steak, it's a good steak. You just put some salt on there, let that sit out for a while. It's going to bring out a lot of the moisture, and you pat dry that so that it doesn't boil, but it sears. Then you're going to take your cast iron skillet. You're going to heat that up for 20 minutes on low heat. Then you're going to put some avocado oil in that pan because it is a high temperature oil. Then you're going to sear it, leave it there for, I don't know, like 8 minutes. I kind of just eyeball it, maybe less, probably less. Flip it for another 2 minutes. And then you add in your butter, your garlic, and your rosemary, and you baste that. And then you let it go until it's like 120 internal temperature. Take it off, let that rest for kind of as long as possible, and then you take your compound butter that you have made with herbs and garlic, and you put that on top, and you got a good steak there.
See, Alex, I'm supposed to be on a diet right now before I get married, so you're not helping me with this.
I apologize, man. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're off the diet, come on over, and I'll make steaks for everybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna bow to a superior cook here. I've never made compound butter, so that just sounds. I can't even compare.
Dude, just take two sticks of butter, room temperature, and then you're gonna take whatever green herbs you have in your refrigerator, or just like go to the store and get some like whatever rosemary, cilantro, whatever's looking good, and you're going to put some two heads of garlic in the oven. You can look up like what time and temp to do that for, and you're just gonna squeeze that garlic out in that butter, mix it all up, and then you just wrap it up in some saran wrap, and then you got compound butter for a while.
Damn, man. Well, I didn't expect to do an episode of Iron Chef today, but here we are.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Well, we are here to talk about the movie Alien. Sorry, I don't have a good segue between steaks and Alien, but here we are.
Oh, man.
Alex, you wanted to bring the, what is it, 1978 or 79?
79.
Okay. You wanted to bring 79 Alien to the podcast. Why don't you go ahead and tell us why you wanted to bring it, and then tell us your history with this particular movie.
Well, it happened much out of convenience. Because Alien is a movie that I don't necessarily try to, but I pretty much watch it every year. I really, really like it quite a bit. And I don't think it's like the most popular opinion of all time, but I like it immensely better than the sequel. But I have a younger cousin who I just met for like the first time in my life, like a year ago. And she's a little nerdy like me, and she was like, my favorite movie is Alien, and we were both like, oh my gosh, let's watch it together, and then let's watch that new Alien Earth show that just came out and is supposed to be really good. So cooked some food, had her over and a few friends, I made Detroit style pizza, and we watched Alien last week, and then Neil asked me to be on this podcast. So already loved Alien. I had watched it last week, so there's no homework for myself. And I just think this is a damn good movie.
Okay, and when did you see it for the very first time?
Probably like torrented it on my MacBook back in like high school, and so watched it like really bad quality version, in bed, like on my little laptop.
Okay, interesting. Now, I'm gonna move to Gideon. Gideon, tell me your history with Alien and kind of like when was the first time you saw it and kind of how it came to be in your conscience.
So this is like a movie I had heard about like my whole life because my dad would always talk about it, but like it was funny because like growing up, like my family is like super not into horror movies, but this one clearly left such an impression on him, and he's like a big sci-fi guy. But he like never sat me down to watch it. I just always would hear him tell me about it. And I think I watched it for the first time in like 2018, 2019, on like a DVD on my computer with my external drive. And I'm kind of like a newer Alien fan. I've only more recently in the past like couple years gotten into some of the other movies. There's still some I need to watch. I have been watching that Alien Earth show. We're all caught up except for I think a new episode just dropped tonight. So I'll probably watch that tomorrow. And I think this is my third or fourth time watching this. Yeah,
Okay,
this
and
movie.
an important question I'm going to retroactively ask to Alex as well. Gideon, how many of the Alien movies have you seen?
So I've seen Alien, Aliens, Alien Romulus. I haven't seen Alien 3. I haven't seen Covenant, and I haven't seen Prometheus.
Okay.
And I haven't seen like I know they're like adjacent, but I haven't seen the Predator movies
Right.
aside from Prey, that Hulu one.
Okay, how about you, Alex?
So I think, well, I haven't watched Alien Earth yet. I've been waiting to meet up with my little cousin again for that. But I've seen them all except for Resurrection, which I hear is pretty bad, but also has like a little bit of charm to it because it's so weird. And I like kind of like them all to various degrees. Like there's none of them that I like really dislike. I do need to rewatch Prometheus and Alien Covenant at some point and give like an adult opinion on those. And Alien 3 is all right. I think it's got its charm. I think it's also like the worst David Fincher movie.
Okay, that was my follow-up, which one was the David Fincher one? I thought, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Neil, give me your history with Alien. When was the first time you saw it, and which of this long-running franchise have you seen?
So the first Alien movie I saw, going back to our comments about Paul W.S. Anderson, was Alien versus Predator.
Nice.
Sometime, I'm pretty sure that came out sometime while I was in high school. And I had no earthly conception of what was going on because I had not seen Alien or Predator previously. I think it was just like on TV at like when I was at a friend's first sleepover or something. We just watched it while we guzzled root beer.
Nice.
I have seen Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and Prometheus, but I've not seen Alien Resurrection or Alien Covenant, or Prey.
Okay.
Well, okay. Well, I was just gonna say personally, I saw Alien probably for the first time in high school, just like Alex did. I think I probably like pirated off the internet. I saw Aliens, within the last, I would say, 10 years in time, probably like 5 years ago. Liked it. Haven't seen Alien 3, 4, Prometheus, Covenant. But then I saw Alien Romulus, and my hot take is that I actually think Alien Romulus is the best Alien movie.
Forgot to mention that one. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I loved
it's
it.
fucking awesome. Outside, can we, okay, full spoil. Wait, do any of you care if I spoil Alien Romulus?
Well, has Neil seen it?
I haven't, but go for it. I feel like certain parts have been spoiled for me.
Okay, the part I'm about to spoil, I think, is the thing that has probably been spoiled for you because it, okay, so like somehow Ash from Alien shows up in that movie, like his dead like his disembodied head on like the floor or whatever. As like the classic like legacy sequel trope of like bringing back old shit for no reason. And that is like the worst thing ever when they bring Ash back. It has like nothing to do with the rest of the movie. It like totally sucks. But outside of that, I thought Alien Romulus was like almost a perfect movie. I thought it was so goddamn awesome. Anyway,
I totally agree. It's like I thought it was an excellent movie, an excellent horror movie too. Like definitely like the only other one in the franchise that's like a straight up horror movie. And right. It's like the whole Ash thing definitely got like a lot of like flack online, and it's kind of weird. And I thought the CG on him kind of sucked too. So like it just like. Especially like in the movie theater, like I saw it in like IMAX. So it's like, you could see all the little flaws in like the, uncanny valley of like his AI face. And like, I thought that was weird and it didn't need to be in there. I also thought it wasn't the end of the world also. Like, I don't know. I think it got like so much hate online that like people were like, oh, this movie sucks because of this. And the movie definitely did not suck because of that. It just was like, didn't need to put that in there, but like still like thought it was a banger of a movie.
Yeah. You know, like I kind of felt like it screamed studio interference. Like the studio came to the director and said, like, you need to throw more stuff. You need to throw more member berries in this movie.
Yeah.
And so he was like, okay, well, we'll just have this totally throwaway scene with Ash. And I agree with you that the hate on that scene is a little overblown. It doesn't, a 5-minute sequence does not ruin a 2-hour excellent movie.
It's not like he has like 30 minutes of screen time.
And I also thought like, you know, he's an android, right? So there's like probably like other models of himself or whatever. So it's like, it doesn't like totally not make sense or anything like that. It just was like, kind of a little weird.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It was. But anyway, let me give my 10,000 foot thoughts, and then we'll kind of go around in the opposite order just to get everybody's kind of quick review of the movie. I really like Alien. Intellectually, like I like when I'm thinking about the things I like about Alien, there's like a million things I love about it. The art style, the soundscape, the different art styles of like what the Nostromo looks like and then like what the alien planet looks like. I think like on a pure art level, it's so good. I do think it's a little bit long and a little bit slow, and I think unfairly horror is a genre that ages poorly because the quality of the special effects is really important, and it's hard to get over the fact that the alien in this movie just looks like a guy in a rubber suit. In some of the like most important scenes toward the end of the movie, like when he was like clunking against the ship's hull and everything, it's just like so funny. But there's so many things that it does correctly, and there's a million things to love about it. And this is like undoubtedly like one of the most iconic movies of its era. But there are other movies in the franchise that I like more. Like I like Aliens more and I like Alien Romulus more. But I can't speak to the other movies. So, you know, maybe it's not only likely, but you know, it's definitely possible that I would like Alien much more than I like Covenant or Prometheus or Resurrection or Alien 3 or any of that shit. So, yeah, really like it, but it is not on my all-time list of favorite movies, right? How about you, Neil? Where do you sit with Alien?
Yeah, I've got a lot of the same thoughts as you. I think, you know, we kind of went over this with Jaws, where a lot of times like horror movies are scarier when you can't see what's happening. You know, like whatever's in your mind is always going to be like scarier than basically any special effect, no matter how well done. And I think this movie definitely like leans into that, because like we don't even see like the facehugger till like halfway into the movie, I don't think. You spend basically an hour with the crew, just seeing them like be anxious about this like unorthodox situation that they find themselves in, and there are obviously like tensions within the crew. And then, like you say, later, like, especially towards the end, when the alien is just like, you know, a guy on a line who's being like smacked against the escape pod's hull, or even like, you know, they do a lot of great stuff within the movie where, you know, it's hiding in shadow and like jumping out of, you know, the ventilation shafts and whatnot. But there's even a scene, I think it's where it winds up killing the captain, Dallas, in the air ducts. And it's just a shot of like the guy in the suit just like reaching forward with his arms, and it like lingers on him too long. So like you never actually see the hands touch Dallas. It's just like the arm shooting out and then hold for like 2 seconds.
He has like jazz
too
hands.
Long.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's just like, oh man, like if only somebody had noticed during editing, like that could have worked, and then it just doesn't quite land. The one thing that I think is probably pretty unique about this movie, at least up to the point where it was made, is that it's a sci-fi horror movie. And like obviously things like that have been done, like the original Blob movies, like still technically sci-fi, like, you know, there's stuff before, but usually it's like something lands on Earth and everything is pretty, you know, contemporary. Whereas this is like obviously meant to be in the future. There's obvious sci-fi elements that are going into it. And then we're going to make a horror movie on top of that. And so I think it's very ambitious in that regard. Mm-hmm. Final initial thought is, particularly for a sci-fi movie, we've talked a lot about like you don't like where you have to explain things and where like you don't want to get like too in depth on stuff. Alien does like not explain any of the technology involved, and it works. Like at the same time, like you kind of get like this is basically just like this is basically a space semi truck, and these are just space truckers, and we've all sort of worked with like the different people that are on this team. But, and we don't need to know exactly like what goes into the day-to-day running of the ship, or any of the technology in the universe. The only thing that I think does get kind of, or where it jumps the shark, is that Ash is an android. And I don't think that at any point up until he gets his head knocked off and we see the wires that are sticking out of his severed head, that it's ever mentioned that androids are even a thing in this universe. Like, mm-hmm. but, and like, that's a shock to us as the audience. And I think that could have been really interesting, except that it's also mundane to the other humans. I remember a long time ago watching like some of like the deleted scenes. And I think there's like a couple scenes where like Ripley is putting together that Ash is an android. And I think that those were probably cut A for being confusing, but a part of me wishes that they hadn't been. Because I think that's the one aspect of the sci-fi universe that kind of diminishes, because you don't know that he's an android, but you don't even know that it's a possibility.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about Ash in that context before. We'll get back to him and that particular revelation later. First, I'm just going up the list here. Gideon, how about you give me your 10,000-foot thoughts?
Yeah, so this is probably the first time I'd watched it in maybe a year or a little over a year or two. Second time watching on 4K Blu-ray. Which is interesting to note, because I think this is one of the last transfers or film restorations that 20th Century Fox did before they got bought out by Disney. So it is really nice just seeing like how much care went into it, because it's obviously a very iconic film. And I was kind of thinking about it with Godzilla, and like you guys had mentioned the practical effects and stuff, where it may not work as well for you guys from what it did like, but for me, I think it holds up like incredibly well. And I love how there's all these different scenes of, you can maybe see like, is that the alien like hiding over there? behind those tubes or like barrels or whatever, or like, you know, when the guy's looking for the cat and all the chains are dangling and then like the tail comes down kind of like the chain. So I really, really like it. This is probably still my favorite of all of them. This time around, I really appreciated it. I think literally all the characters, and I don't think any character is wasted, even Cat, because they use that for that like fake out when they're trying to catch the alien after it hatched from the chest burst thing. And yeah, I had a good time with it. I'm trying to think of what else. But you know, it's
what did
just,
you what did you watch it on, Gideon?
What do you mean? I watched it on 4K Blu-ray.
What do you mean, guys? I watched it on 4K Blu-ray. Of course. What did you guys watch it on? Fucking VHS.
It turns out that Gideon's library has like a budget set aside entirely to get 4K transfers.
this one I own, but yeah, they do have some actually, which is kind of crazy to me.
Okay. I was wondering because I watched it on standard Blu-ray like a peasant apparently, and I thought it looked like a million bucks. So I thought it was.
Oh no, you're fine.
I thought it looked totally awesome though. Undeniably, this movie looks great. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Last bit. Oh, unless you're not done, go ahead.
Yeah, just a few more quick things, and I'll wrap up. I do love I really, really appreciate like good sound design and all the mechanical click clacks and like oddly satisfying things that's just like all over this movie, from like the mechanical keyboards or like everything she's doing when she's doing the self-destruct sequence, or like the doors, or like going into the mother room and stuff like that. Even just how the mother room looks. And with like the practical effects and like kind of in terms of like iconic monster stuff, it's like, next to like Godzilla, which I'm also a newer fan, like Alien is like, I mean, it's probably one of the most iconic monsters in all of cinema.
Oh, it's gotta be. Yeah.
And it's like every time I think about it, I'm like, god damn, it is such a fucking scary monster, and I would hate for this thing to actually exist. Like, it would be so scary. Yeah. But yeah, I think I can call it there.
Okay, and well, I guess we don't need to ask you how you feel because it's on your top 10 favorite movies, Alex, but give us a little bit about your 10,000-foot thoughts.
Absolutely. I'll try to keep it concise here because got a lot to say about this film. But I, as I said before, love this movie. And also just something about myself is I love good practical effects. Like, it really, like, makes, like, a huge difference for me in, like, kind of like any movie, but like, I mean, especially when you're talking about like sci-fi, fantasy, horror, all that stuff. Like, I almost like much prefer older movies because they had to like get this stuff down. I even like the goofy stuff. Like, I like it when like it looks weird, like too, like just because it's like, wow, like a lot of effort went into that and that looks silly, or that looks really, really cool. And Alien has like both of those kind of, which I, for what it's worth, I kind of appreciate that kind of has both, because on one hand, it has like this crazy good set design that like is so meticulous and must have just taken them like so much time to do. And the art design around it and H.G. Giger's like art direction around like the sets, but also like the alien itself. Like, also, I mean, it's kind of like clear in the movie, but like his like art style is basically like everything is either like phallic or like female anatomy. Part that like really like stuck out to me every time I watch it, I'm just like, man, that looks like so good. Like, I have no idea how they did it, but like when they have the close up of the face hugger on John Hurt, and like the tail part like just like kind of constricts around his neck, and he's all slimy, and like I don't even, it doesn't like, I it, like legit, like last time I watched it, I was like, man, is this like some digital upgrade to this, because this looks like too good to be like a practical effect. And then there's also like really goofy stuff, like when the alien pops out of his chest and he looks just like this stupid like you know, male anatomy or something like that.
You can just say, you can just say cock or balls or whatever. You can say whatever.
I'm gonna do that. But also, there was younger people walking right by me as I was saying that.
this is a free country. Let it fly. They gotta learn.
There you go. But like, also, I mean, like, it's there's just like so many like themes in this movie too that like I really didn't pick up on like my first watches, but like there's just like a lot of stuff like around like sexuality and like even like unfortunately like sexual violence, because like I guess like part of the premise of this movie was like like Ridley Scott was like thinking like, oh man, how terrifying would it be if like men could be like, you know, raped and impregnated and stuff like that, like, and it turns out it's pretty scary. I think that set design is amazing. I think like the monster is super scary. I think that he does look goofy towards the end, especially when he's bumping up against the ship. What else? I don't know. I think it's an excellent film. I think Ridley Scott has such range too, like from going from this to like stuff like American Gangster to all the stuff he did. And Sigourney Weaver's killing it the whole time. And I think the crew is really scary, like really great. And I think like there's like just a few scenes in here that like actually do kind of get your blood pumping, like when Dakota the captain is getting like chased down and he has like the tracker and like the beep is just getting faster and faster and faster, and like it's like I see it like this movie all the time, and like still like that scene just makes me like, oh gosh, like when's it gonna happen, and the alien pops up and it makes you jump like a little bit, but it also looks kind of goofy, which I appreciate.
Yeah, you know, you already hit on like kind of like a new segment I wanted to do this week is called The Main Course, where we talk about like a deeper subtextual theme of the movie. And this is something that like really fascinates me about Ridley Scott as a director, because he's always doing this kind of shit. Like Blade Runner has the shit all over it. And there are a lot of articles out there about how everything in Alien is a sexual metaphor or sexual imagery. Like the name of the computer is called Mother. Of course, the xenomorph itself is female. We think the lead is going to be male. We think it's going to be Dallas, and then he gets killed halfway in. So, you know, it kind of switches unexpectedly to being Ridley. Of course, we see a man get impregnated. We see John Hurt. Is that his name?
It is.
Yeah. John Hurt gets impregnated and then gives birth. I think this is like this adds to this, although it's very easy to miss. Like the way that Ash tries to kill
totally
Sigourney Weaver, very sexually charged, right? Like he's not only is he like trying to stuff something down her throat to like choke her to death, it's a Playboy magazine.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, like all that's in that, I don't know whose bunk it is, but whoever's bunk it is just filled with porn.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to choke her out with that, literally. So it's all over this movie. I mean, like I'm not smart enough to tell you exactly what Ridley Scott was going for here. I think Alex, you probably hit the nail on the head there with like, hey, isn't it disturbing that all this stuff can happen to men? I think it's also kind of about like men's fear of women's control over life, right? Like,
I think so.
Being able to, you know, like the one thing that women can do that we can't do is like literally the most important act of being a living creature, and we're like terrified of the power that they wield over us in a way. I think that's like totally valid.
Totally.
But I think like this movie is so good at delivering just a standard great movie, but also delivering on all that under the surface kind of art shit that kind of elevates it to being something else, just like all great horror movies do. So, Neil, I wanted to know if you had any kind of take or reaction to that, or Did you notice any of that? I mean, it's hard not to look at the xenomorph and, you know, it's like the meme where he's like, that's a penis, but.
Yeah, so the big question that I kind of had looking at this was, so like, you know, there's the obvious psychosexual stuff. Which of the movies we've seen this year is more psychosexual, Alien or Nosferatu?
I would say Alien is more subtle with it. Like, Nosferatu is very overt with what it's about.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I think that part of it also has to do with, like what it's being sexual about. You know, like Nosferatu is very much like female monster fucker fantasy, and this is men's sexual fears made manifest. So in some way, like, you know, are you and I like more keyed into that than we would have been for some of the things in Nosferatu?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think definitely like different kinds of horror movies affect people in different ways. You know, I don't remember where I read it, but somebody said that it's very hard for as a man to watch Alien without like subconsciously crossing your legs at some point during the movie. And I think that like I think that totally holds true. I do, obviously, I think there's something what you said about Nosferatu as well. Like, anybody that has a woman in their lives that reads like romantic novels or like erotica knows that there's some like monster fucking fantasy shit going on that sells incredibly well. And there's something, I'm not smart enough to speak to it or know exactly what's going on, but there's something going on here. I mean, Gideon, how about you? Any thoughts on the whole like deeper subtext of like all the sexual shit that's going on in Alien?
Yeah, a couple things. So with that, I mean, and I kind of really applaud this movie, but I feel like not so much with like men's sexual fears, but like taking everyday women's, you know, fears of sexual assault and sexual violence and, you know, getting pregnant by like your rapist and stuff like that. But flipping it on its head and having it happen to men, and you get to really see it in like horrifying ways. And even just like how the crew is like, oh, hey, you're awake and everything's hunky dory. Like, let's eat food and be all right next to you and stuff. But, it, you know, also like empowering, like female empowerment with how fucking badass Ripley is the entire time. But also one thing we haven't mentioned, obviously, you know, Ridley Scott did Blade Runner, but the cyberpunk elements too, and like the fucking megacorp that doesn't give a flying fuck about any of these people and the, you know, crew expendable, and, you know, the beginning of the movie, they're all talking about their shares and like, why do we get a half share as like the maintenance people and they get a full share, and like, they're like, oh, tell him it'll be fixed in 17 hours. And he's like, it's going to be fixed in 25 hours. Cause it's like, they also are like, just kind of sick of all the bullshit they had to deal with. And even just like how everything happens is just, you know, they get woken up midway through their journey and they have to do more random bullshit because the company said so. And then one thing Neil had mentioned about, you know, with, Ash being the android, I personally like how it's like, is there something off about this guy? Like, he's weird. He's acting strange. He's like disobeying Ripley's orders and shit like that. And then when you finally see, it's like, oh, he's a fucking clanker. Okay. That's why. So I don't know, different things like that. I just think it's, it has so many different ways to, or like threads to pull at. And I do love how, this is a little besides the point, but I do love also that it's like, it is a really hardcore sci-fi movie, but then it turns into like a sci-fi horror movie in like what would be a sci-fi haunted house, which is this big hulking mechanical ship with the steam and fucking things sparking and beeping at you like all the time, and just like having all that almost like mechanical, industrial environment, like work environment, and how oppressive that can be just on its own. But then you're dealing with this unknown nightmare creature.
Well, yeah, I mean, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there was a whole lot of depiction of, like, working class space people at this point,
yeah.
Right? Like, can we think of a movie before Alien where, well, I mean, like, Han is a smuggler in Star Wars, and the Millennium Falcon is clearly very, like, working class as a ship, but, like, we don't see people talking about, like, oh, their shares and the company and, like, the fact that these people are, like, frozen to do a job. I mean, like, Alien, kind of like what Neil said earlier, without beating you over the head with expository dialogue, creates a very interesting, unique universe and very original for the time.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, so any more you wanted to say about the main topic of all the creepy sexual stuff that's going on underneath the surface in this movie?
Yeah, and what Gideon touched upon is, like, also, like, it definitely has, like, this theme of, like, gender roles, and, like, the whole crew is, like, totally, like, not acknowledging Ripley as, like, a leader, and they're ignoring her, they're being rude to her, they're, like, Ash as well. I mean, Ash, you know, we come to find out, has, like, programmed to, like, get the alien back, so we find that out later. But, like, yes, exactly. And I too also think that's a good twist, because, like, I like that it's not established, and then it does make sense, because he is being so weird and so mechanical and so black and white about certain things. So I actually thought it was a pretty cool twist. But Ripley is, like, so, like, strong through the movie and so composed, like, especially when she's, like, talking to the crew, who's, like, just kind of, like, disregarding her, and they're, you know, like, she's trying to talk to them, and they're, like, turning up the steam to be like, what, like, what are you saying? And I think that was, like, pretty well written. And actually, if I could just digress, something that just popped into my head, a little bit of cool trivia, is, you guys know that scene where they see the eggs for the first time, and there's that, like, mm-hmm. weird laser right above the eggs. That lighting equipment was actually got because The Who was filming a music video, like, next door, and they were like, hey, that light's pretty cool, you mind if we borrow that? So they got lent that by The Who filming right next door.
That's hilarious.
That is pretty cool. I did not know that. Actually, I think I know the video.
Nice.
it's in the, they have a, like, a live, it's not like a music video, it's a live concert recording called, like, Live at Shepperton Studios or something like that. And during Won't Get Fooled Again, there's, like, a blue laser light that goes over the screen, and I think it's probably the exact one. I'll link you guys afterwards and timestamp.
Nice.
It's
nice.
Like, really iconic. Well, guys, we are already coming up on an hour, right? This is an episode that's gone quickly because we have to get another person's opinions in here. Where are we at? Do you guys have a ton more you want to say about this, or do you want to start to wrap up?
I have one, like, quick small thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Related to, like, the gender roles, or just, like, I think I read, like, a Letterboxd review or something where, like, this girl was watching this movie with a guy she was, like, dating, and I don't think he'd seen it. And he was like, when he said, why'd she go back for the cat? She was like, I knew it wouldn't work out between us. Like, I thought that was so funny. And I mean, I, like, love cats, but it would be really fucking hard to go back for the cat if there's a goddamn xenomorph crawling around.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, that would be really tough.
I can get another cat. There's only one of me. I'm not going back for the cat.
I don't know, guys. Jonesy was pretty cute. I totally support the decision. Can't say I would do it myself, I respect all the respect in the world.
Guys, I wouldn't, like, have gone back for the cat. I definitely would have gone back for Harry Dean Stanton, though. I love that guy.
Yeah,
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say it's just another notch on the belt that makes Ripley even more badass. Like she's like, I'm going back for the cat no matter what.
What are you gonna say, Neil?
So, my two final thoughts were both about Harry Dean Stanton. So I just wanted to jump in there with that. Number one is that there's the scene where he like goes off by himself that leads to his demise. But there's like water dripping from the ceiling in one of like the industrial spaces on the ship. And like on the one hand, I totally get like, you know, this thing probably doesn't have showers because, you know, the crew's meant to just be like in stasis for most of the time there. So, and you know, like water's heavy. It's probably like expensive as far as like space rain goes. So it's a cool like thought process that goes into the creation of the ship, but at the same time it's like that has to be the grungiest water.
Oh yeah, dude.
You could ever want, just like dripping on your face.
Yeah.
Like machine water.
Ugh.
But the other thing was you know, we kind of talked about how like, you know, like there's the psychological horror for men involved here. But there's a scene late in the movie where the predator's advancing on the other female character, Lambert, and you see its tail like slithering up her leg.
Yeah.
In a very suggestive way. But that's actually Harry Dean Stanton's leg. They re-edited it.
Whoa.
So I think that was something where they actually like toned it down a little bit with the male horror fantasies. But yeah, if you go back and look, it's totally like different set of pants, different shoes. It's Harry Dean Stanton.
Wow.
Yeah, that almost reminds me of the tree branches in Evil Dead. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I'll just leave it at that. Well, Alex, now's the time of the podcast where we usually come in and we give a movie a set of stars. It's 1 to 5 with no half points. Where would you land on Alien? This is obviously a 4 or 5 for you, right?
Oh man, I'm giving it a 5. And actually, real quick, just a closing thought too, is like definitely like a part of the appeal of this movie. I think it's really, really well done and well directed, like amazing art design, like actor chemistry is great and all that stuff. But also, like, I think part of the charm is that like this is a movie from the 70s and like it is so ahead of the curve on like sci-fi and horror, because like it's like, yeah, like Star Wars had come out like just before this, and Star Wars was like absolutely like special effects wise like a huge step up, because like sci-fi before that was just like a spaceship on a string going through space, and it looked like crap and everything was like really campy and all that stuff. But I mean, I at least off the top of my head can't think of like a movie before this that like had like such like horror tension and like really well done like sci-fi atmosphere like anywhere close to this or Star Wars before this era. Like, so it's like that tone mixed with like the special effects like just really like kind of like set the groundwork for like this is how scary sci-fi like should be. So I think that is definitely like part of the overall appeal of this film.
Yeah, absolutely. Gideon, so how about you?
I would give it a solid 5. I mean, I just think it's hugely influential. The set design is so immaculate and lived in. All the mechanical interacting that they do, I mean, such an iconic monster. Just amazing acting across the board. I especially liked watching Parker on this time around. He was probably my second favorite character, third being the cat. You know, not counting the alien. And yeah, it's just kind of so incredible to behold and watch. And I always think, especially with older movies, I'm always like, man, that would have been fucking crazy seeing this on opening night. Oh, just yeah. Like, you know, like, because every time I see the facehugger, I'm like, That thing is real. Like, that is a real creature. Like, it doesn't look fake. It doesn't look manufactured. Like, it just looks so real and is so haunting and foreboding.
It's like undulating on him.
And yeah, the way it like tightens around his neck and the breathing it's doing, it's Jesus Christ.
And I wish I could remember how it was done because I heard something about it. But like, I guess like part of the reason why it like looks so scary is like I think it was actually kind of like puppeteered in a way that's like similar to a spider because a spider doesn't have like muscles like we do. It uses like liquid to like hydraulic its joints to move. And I think that they did that for this puppet, and it makes it just look so like spider-like and gross, and it just like I don't know, it just hits like somewhere in the back of your brain, like you're like, oh gosh, like so
Yeah.
nasty.
So disgusting. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just a all-timer. It's a total classic and everything just feels so real and so ahead of its time. It feels very timeless. And even though I've watched it a couple times, like I don't fully remember like everything beat for beat when I was watching it, but it still like got me with one of the scares, which was like near the end when she's in the shuttle escaping. She doesn't know the alien's quite there. And then like its tail like reaches out at her, like that fucking got me. And even before, like we mentioned it, it's goofy, which I do agree it's goofy when he's in the air ducts, and he's like hi, like that had got me like multiple times before when I'd seen it, so I just think that's funny. But yeah, I just think it's all timer if you like sci-fi at all, or like you want a good intro to horror. This is like a must stop, must watch.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Neil, how about you, man?
I'm gonna be coming in with the haterade here. I'm gonna give it a 3. Not for anything that's like particularly wrong with it, more just that I'm saving some space for 4s and 5s. This is a really solid movie. It's like on the brink of being a 4, but similar to Sam, I like Aliens more, but that's not a 5 to me. So just like trying to keep some level of internal consistency here, I think I have to give it, like the strongest possible 3. But there it is.
Totally fair.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm coming down, Neil. I'm kind of with you. I'm gonna say like the lowest possible 4. But I think me and you basically feel the same way about this movie. I really respect where this movie is with like its themes and how far ahead of the curve it is. I think like from an art design standpoint, it's immaculate. Looks great, sounds great, great cast. It has Harry Dean Stanton. That's like a plus one in for every movie for me. So I'm gonna say like the lowest possible 4. But yeah, it's great. I will say the pacing of this movie is a little glacial at times, and I start to get a little jittery, like a little bored. But it's great, and it really makes me want to go play Alien Isolation, which Alex, if you have not played Alien Isolation,
Great. It's great. I never beat it because that game
oh, it's
is kind
amazing.
of slow, but like it like just like to quote a like an IGN review, it really makes you feel like you're in an alien movie.
Yeah, it does. Which is ironic because IGN gave that game like a 5 or something,
It
and
did, yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny.
totally tanked his chances of having
A
a
sequel.
successful run. Yeah, so that sucks. But actually, Creative Assembly is working on an Alien Isolation sequel. They announced a couple of years ago that it's in development, so hopefully we see something from that soon because Alien Isolation was the tits. So.
So
Alex,
good.
thank you for coming. Whose turn was it to pick the movie for next week? Or did we have another guest? Or what was the deal with that?
So I was gonna count this one as mine since Alex is my guest, and I think we
Well,
I'm gonna
that's
leave
not
that to
fair, Neil.
Jesse.
I want you to have a pick. How about come up with a pick and I'll see if Jesse wants to do something and we'll either do yours or we'll do whatever Jesse wants to do.
Sounds good.
All
Sounds
right.
good.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Hope you had a good time, Alex.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah. Sure. Anytime you want to come on the show. Oh,
and invite me anytime. This was a good time.
All right. See you guys.
Hell yeah. All right, bye. Have a good one, guys.